This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director, with Russ Hovindick, who's the author, and I guess, you know, you've been featured on national radio broadcasts, interviewed by Wall Street Journal, Military Times, CNBC, and The Street. But helping veterans get jobs, I guess, first of all, you've written quite a few books, too.
Yes. My latest book is Deployment to Employment, and we were fortunate enough to hit number one on Amazon for top new release, and so we're really excited about it. It's been really embraced by the veteran community. It's actually been put into the curriculum of a major college as well. And then we have, I have top 100 food companies using it for their military job fairs, which is really, really cool.
Well, how long ago did it come out?
We actually came out onto Amazon about 4 weeks ago. And so it hasn't been out very long. What's interesting is I'm kind of a anonymous type of person. I like to be a homebody, and from hitting that status and some of the things that we're doing, my email box has lit up. I get as many as 400 emails a day now, and with a lot of different journalists and TV and radio now reaching out and wanting to interview us about what we're doing.
Well, How to Interview is another book that you have written previously, and How to Get a Raise. So jobs is kind of your career.
It is. Actually, I've been an executive recruiter for over 21 years now. I have my own agency and have a number of recruiters that work with me as well. And you know, one of the things that I guess drives me and the people that I've hired is that we have a heart and a passion to make a difference for people. And that's kind of the prerequisite for coming aboard with my company. And if you go out to our website, we have a website called directionalmotivation.com. And that's a site that's dedicated to just helping people in their career search. So there's all types of interviewing tools and tips. And we've got videos, audios, we've got worksheets. I've done interviews with industry executives that are on the blog that you can listen to. We do scholarships. And the volunteers, or everybody that's with us in regards to the Directional Motivation Company, is totally volunteer. You know, everything is out of our pockets, out of our the time commitments, that type of thing. And so it's really cool. And then I have my other company, which is Client Staffing Solutions, which is a executive recruiting agency. We work nationwide, and then on occasion we'll do international assignments too.
Well, 20 years executive recruiter for Fortune 500 organizations. Now, is there any famous executives that we companies that you've helped?
Oh, companies in terms of, you know, I actually, most recruiters say never talk about who your clients are because, you know, you kind of want to keep that under hat. But with the relationships that I've built, I don't worry too much about competition, to be honest with you. Hormel Foods is a huge client of mine, and Sara Lee's been a client, Land O'Lakes, those types of organizations.
But at the same time, even 25 years as a volunteer chaplain, working with the prison, jail, and juvenile penal facilities of South Dakota. So really, you're doing two different ones. I guess the best vacation is an advocation because it's entirely different than what you do. You're executive recruiter during the day and a chaplain during the rest of the day.
I always tell people, you know, if you're going to get a hold of me on Sunday, you probably would not get to catch up with me. I'm in the jail. And, you know, what's really amazing is they let me back out. But I enjoy making a difference for people. You know, I've got a core belief, I guess, that has driven me, and that is that I believe that everybody wants to be better than they presently are. And what I find is they don't know how to get there. And so what we do is we really show them how to get there, whether it be through the interviewing, whether it be through, like, Deployment to Employment, my military book, which is written, it's a guide for military veterans transitioning to civilian employment. And so everything is geared to help people, and as is our site.
Well, I want to get back to the veterans in a minute, but you've done so many things, you know, that led up to this. Your motivation book, Directional Motivation, is included now in high school, college curriculums. It's being used by top 100 food organizations for job fairs, veteran job fairs, campus recruitment efforts. That covers a pretty big spectrum there.
It sure does. And it's, to be honest with you, God has been so amazing in his way that he's handled me and handled this through all this. He's opened doors that would seem impenetrable, and he's opened them up. It's been just amazing. And so, again, you know, it fulfills that inner drive to make a difference for people because you realize that you're touching touching lives in so many different ways, whether it be the life of a company or a life of an individual or the candidate themselves and all their family. It's really neat.
Well, working with prison, jail, juvenile facilities of South Dakota, people, I think, realize that jobs is the key to these people when they get out, so they don't go back in.
Well, that's true. Yeah, very true. And so we work, mine is more of from a chaplaincy standpoint, but really the core things are being able to communicate who you are. The interesting feedback that I get on my How to Interview book, for instance, I wrote that initially for college or high school seniors, graduating seniors in college, coming out and really entry-level workforce type of scenarios. What's been really interesting is it's been picked up, and we've had tremendous results with individuals that have 20 and 30 years of experience within industry. And they said, well, I know how to interview, that type of thing. They grabbed the book and they go, wow, this has put a whole new spin on the interviewing process. I've got an example of one individual that he's a 30-year plant engineer with a food company that went ahead and got the book. And I got an email from him the first week, and he goes, wow, this has totally changed the way I'm looking at the interview process. The second week, I got a follow-up interview, and he said, I'd been into the interview. I just want to let you know. I met with the president, the vice president, their executive team, and he said, the HR manager escorted me to the door after the interview, and she said, by far, this is the best interview I've ever conducted. And on the way home, they called him on his cell. They offered him the job, and he went back and signed papers. So it's pretty cool.
Well, it all ties together with this transition for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
There's... still, I think one out of three homeless are veterans, and a lot of that's by choice.
Yeah,
they just want to be left alone. There's quite a few veterans in South Dakota going, like say even Korea World War II that are retiring. You might say right now, but a lot of them are still working.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I think you're mainly your father was World War II, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And but your brothers were probably
they were in the Air Force, and then they're also they're both in the Air Force, come think of it, but we've had a military family in that regard, for sure. I'm not a military veteran, but I truly believe with all my heart we owe them everything.
Were you brothers in the Vietnam era then, or?
My brothers weren't in combat, but they one was in the Vietnam era.
Well, a lot of the Vietnam veterans are receiving more help now than they did back then because of the Iraq and Afghanistan and the other wars that we've had. But there is a definite, I guess the military is doing more now than they did before.
Well, definitely.
But a lot of times it was basically, okay, your time's up, you're out.
Yeah.
And they gave you your last paycheck and that was it.
Yeah.
That isn't what they needed, is it?
Yeah. What's interesting, and I use a correlation to try and I'll probably ask your audience just to think about this, and because I work within the penal system, and you take a look at an individual that, for instance, has been incarcerated for maybe 8 years, 10 years, 20 years, and their day of fulfillment comes up, and they open up the doors, they put $50 in his pocket, and they say, all right, go for it, don't come back, make a success of yourself. And think about, with that, how difficult that would be to make that transition, because you're trying to assimilate yourself back into a family unit that doesn't know you. You're trying to assimilate into a world that you're not familiar with, because everything has changed since you've been gone, and some of the stigmas that you're carrying. Well, what happens with military veterans many times is a lot of the same things play out, because they haven't seen their family. They've been a key part of that. The family units functioned without them in many cases for a while. The kids don't know them. They have not been dealing with finances, so they have to understand how to do finances now. They don't speak civilian language. They speak in acronyms and facts and figures and that type of thing. There is, on the part of employers, and it's not an intentional bias, but it's a communication aspect of they're not understanding veterans, and so that communication gap exists there. The reason that I got involved in this campaign is I had a Fortune 100 company call me and they say, hey, you know, if you run across veterans, we'd love to hire them. I said, really? I said, and they said, you sound kind of surprised. I said, I am, because I've interviewed a lot of veterans. I don't know what to do with them. And in fact, I just kind of disregard them, have the conversation and say, well, good luck to you. And so I made it a purposeful effort to go ahead and start really communicating with the veterans to find out who they were and digging questions that would dig deeper into finding out how they led and, you know, really bringing out who they were to the surface and teaching them how to interview and bring those same attributes to the surface. When I started doing that, I started placing a lot of veterans and then helping a lot of veterans through that. And so I thought, well, why help one at a time when I can help thousands at a time? And so that's the premise behind the book, and that's what we're doing. We're actually, we started a Invest in a Vet campaign, and that's about 4 weeks ago now. And we've had, it's really interesting. When you go out on the street and you say, you're talking to people about what you do, and they'll say, boy, I'd love to help a veteran, but I don't know how. And so we started the Invest in a Vet program, which encourages individuals to go out, purchase a book, put it in the hands of friends, relatives, friends of coworkers, whatever the case may be, of veterans that either are in transition now or going to be transitioning within the next 1 to 2 years. And I have yet to have had one individual say, I don't want to do that. So then I said, well, all right, we can go to businesses, and I bet you they'll sponsor four veterans too. We've had an overwhelming sponsorship from businesses saying, I want to be part of this. And so last week, we went to Omaha, and we took the sponsored books by businesses and individuals. We had one company, John, that is in North Dakota, got a hold of us. They have five employees. And they said, you know, we currently don't hire a vet, but we understand your cause. We believe in your cause. They bought 100 books. Donate. So we took those books, took them to the Veteran Transition Center in Omaha, and delivered them. Very moving experience. Mm-hmm. And so what we're encouraging people to do is to go ahead, go out and purchase the book, make a difference. Because if we wait for the government to take care of these guys, they're in trouble.
They're doing a little bit more on the exit, but it's still not enough.
Right. Right. The government, you mean, in terms of that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of programs, and that's a misconception that a lot of people have. Just because you have programs doesn't mean you have the answer. And what I mean by that, the reason that my book connects with so many people at such a level is I wrote it in a step-by-step fashion. And the importance of that, John, is because what happens, you ever purchased a home?
Yes.
Okay. You understand all the paperwork you got?
Quite a bit.
Did you? Every document you understood?
It's actually the number one lie is that people read the license agreement on their software. They all say,
exactly.
I agree. But
exactly.
Nobody ever reads it. No, that fine print.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And so what's happening with veterans is they're facing all these issues in their life, the finances, the family, the adjustment, and all these things. And now they're getting all these government forms coming at them that they don't understand how to fill out. They don't understand, you know, there's page upon page upon page upon page. And what they do is they go into paralysis mode, much like we would do. If you ever got an IRS notice saying you were late or not even late, but, you know, whatever the case may be, you go, what are they trying to tell me? Same with a lot of the programs. They're not comprehending. So what I did is formulated a book that is very, very simple, just absolutely step by step, kind of takes a veteran by the hand and says, okay, you can do this. So let me walk you through the process. And we've just had tremendous success with it.
Well, when you started and you started interviewing in depth the veterans, was there kind of a key point that the light bulb struck up and lit that you kind of said, okay, this is something nobody else is really doing? Was there a point where you said, I've got to write a book about this because nobody else is?
Yeah. I've read a lot of, even like on the How to Interview book, actually the veterans are using both books, mm-hmm. tremendous success with them. And because my book is more than interviewing, it's on how to interview. It's a book on communication, how to take and understand what it is that you bring to the table and how to highlight it and bring it to the attention of your audience, whether that be in an interview setting or whether that be in normal communications everywhere. The high school individuals in college are just astounded because they're using digital connections. You know, the communications through Twitter and your email and, you know, that type of communications. So this has been an eye-opener for them. The aha moment is really when I'm on the phone, and was on the phone, and with my first veteran, when I realized I had just opened the Pandora's box. I don't know if Pandora's box is the right term, but opened that treasure chest of what really made the difference in them. And they were responsive the same way. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize this. Within themselves. And so then we started working on how to capitalize on that, and how to, you know, a lot of times veterans will say, well, they use facts and figures. They'll say, I led 200 troops. Wonderful, but how did you do that? Because the civilian sector thinks they're under orders, they're going to have to follow you, or they're going to get court-martialed. Not true. You know, they can submarine a leader just as easy as they can in a civilian setting.
Well, their mission is to complete that mission.
Yes. Yeah.
And how can they do it best? And they get, you know, they have a little leeway on deciding, you know, what they do in the field, in a sense. But that leadership is something that a lot of people who aren't in the military don't experience.
Yeah, they don't experience and they don't understand, and they don't understand the mechanics of the leadership, so to speak. And so there's tremendous leadership. I co-authored a paper with Dr. Mike Eccles from Bellevue University. And Mike is just, he's a PhD in physics, so he and I have absolutely nothing in common, but tremendous guy. And he was with, he held three executive level positions with the GE under Jack Welch. And he started to, or came to Bellevue University and started a strategic initiatives program to help veterans, and we connected on this. And so we co-partnered a couple of articles on it, and we talk about what's happening in America. When we had our first conversation, Mike and I, we realized we're talking the same language really on it. What's happened is mid-management, entry-level management, for most companies in America, are really struggling to find talent. And what's happened is you have people retiring, and it kind of got held off when we had the stock market crash and that type of thing. And now, I think, I forget what the number is, how many people are retiring per day, but there's a tremendous gap of talent at the entry-level, mid-level, because that knowledge base is walking out the door. And so companies are really struggling to figure out, okay, where do we get the management that we can take and actually build our companies around for the future. And so Mike and I co-partnered an article that addresses that and really brings out the points that military veterans bring, that being exceptional commitment, dedication, leadership, vision, maturity, all the attributes that companies can actually build around for the future. And we're going with a strategic initiative to really educate both the employer and the veteran on how to connect, because the veterans are really the answer to what's going on in America with your manufacturing efforts and with companies in general.
Most of them, if they stay in for 20 years, is it too old when they get out?
You know, I get asked that all the time. 20 years and they're 42 years old.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and you think of the wealth of experience they had, and at 42 years of age, now that transition process can be difficult, because a lot of times what they've been making in military and trying to transition out in civilian sector to a civilian employment populace that doesn't understand them is difficult. They maybe aren't going to pull the same wages that way. But what I work with them and talk about is the flexibility to take a lesser position than what the dream job is initially, and learn our culture, learn the culture of the company, learn management in the civilian sector. And what we're finding is that the military individuals, the veterans, rise to the top. And so I said, don't worry about it. Get with a company that has the foundational structure of, you know, teaching, training, development, those types of things, that they can take and put a support structure together to help you succeed. And then also a company that understands veterans, too, is really a significant part of that.
Is there, there used to be incentives, government incentives to hire a veteran. Is that still around? Or?
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's a lot of incentives that way. One of the things within the GI Bill, and a lot of employers don't realize this, is that they can take and have that that veteran on their staff, and he can be going to school in the specific areas, skill set areas that he needs to enhance to become a much more valuable employee of theirs, too, on the GI Bill. So it doesn't cost employers anything.
One thing I'm learning myself as a veteran with the new Affordable Health Act is the company doesn't have to provide insurance for me because the VA is my health provider.
Oh, sure.
And at my age, I'm in Medicare, too. But they don't have to worry about providing insurance for me because I already have.
Right. And the same would be true here
with most veterans in these
settings. Yeah.
That's some of the things that I think employers are just now starting to find out about with new.
There are so many things contained in the GI Bill. What's really unfortunate, John, is that many of the veterans are so overwhelmed by the magnitude of the GI Bill that they don't understand it. And as we started talking to them, we're finding that veterans coming out are applying for loans and that type of thing to go to school on when they don't have to do that. It's paid for in the GI Bill, all these different things.
Well, what can you say to, we're speaking with Russ Hovindick, who's author of How to Interview, How to Get a Raise, and Deployment to Employment is your new book. It's on Amazon, yes. Top 10? Or
It was a top new release.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's available in bookstores here in Sioux Falls?
I think you can order it through Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
Most of your bookstores, what you're going to find is they don't carry the books on the shelves, but you can certainly go online and get that. And so, yeah, on Amazon, it's out there, Deployment to Employment, A Guide for Military Veterans Transitioning to Civilian Employment. And then my other book is How to Interview, What Employers Want to Hear in Today's Competitive Job Market. And both of these books are connecting. And I don't say that because I'm the author of it by any means, but I say that because those are the emails and the voicemails and that I get. It's pretty cool.
Well, as an executive recruiter for 20 years for top, you know, Fortune 500 organizations. Mm-hmm. We have a unique city here.
Yeah, you do.
We do. it's kind of like it's like the mayor said the other day, if they could figure out what we're doing in Sioux Falls and South Dakota and apply it to the rest of the country. We got, 3-4% unemployment?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, that is kind of hard to bring in an industry when we don't have enough people to fill the jobs.
Right. What I would really encourage employers in Sioux Falls and South Dakota in general is to really look at the veteran community for building their companies around and being willing to make that commitment to teach and train and help them because they're going to be a very valuable resource for the long term.
Most veterans coming back, they find out that their family can get along without them.
Hmm.
They financially and everything, they've been doing that.
Yes.
So when they first get off that plane and get somewhat, you know, used to not maybe wearing the uniform. For the person listening on the radio right now,
sure,
who probably wouldn't want to be seen going in to ask for help, you know.
Right.
What can you say to them right now? They're just back from Afghanistan or Iraq or maybe they were in Germany or Japan, but what can you say to them right now?
Okay. One of the things that that I'm really working on the initiative side is to connect with those people 1 year out of transition, because that's really one of the keys, is to get yourself set. Things that I cover in here in terms of getting yourself prepared for that day, like we're talking about, are vital. They're very vital. Now, if you're already in that situation as a veteran right now, what I would, number one, it's okay to reach out. It's very hard. I understand that because you've been trained to be self-sustained.
Pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately with veterans, there's a badge of courage to, you know, that they wear that says, you know, a badge of honor that says, I don't need help. Well, everybody needs help at some point in time. And it's not a show of weakness. It's a show of intelligence, really, to understand where you are and realize that there's people out there that truly want to help you. And I realize one thing that's really bad, John, that really frustrates me is there's a lot of predatory practices upon veterans because that GI Bill is loaded with funds available. And so you have a lot of institutions or I shouldn't say institutions, but organizations and companies really vying for those dollars. And that's where I think if they would reach out to me, I can help them there in terms of getting them to the right type of sources. We're going to be doing this veteran initiative with Bellevue College or Bellevue University in Bellevue, Nebraska. And so we'll be putting the educational programs together to make and simplify a lot of these things and make that transition process much easier for you. I need to know what you're dealing with, and let me help you. And I'm not the savior to everybody, but I'll, you know, what I, my desire is to take and give you the tools that can help you. And it's a step-by-step process. If I can say one thing, probably, is to relax a little bit. Don't panic. And let us reach out. You know, let's do this thing together.
Our time is rapidly running out. Yeah, you wondered how we could talk so long. We got plenty to talk about. One thing on your book on how to interview, what's the main thing you can tell people that is different than other how to interview advice?
The how to interview is a really a self-analysis of who you are internally, and what are the characteristics that really make up who you are that is going to separate you, and then put it in a format that to teach you how to communicate effectively to get that point across. What I teach is building a vision. And what I mean by that is when you take these concepts and you put them in a format that that defines you, what happens is employers can get a picture of you. And then they take that picture and they transfer it into their organization. They say, does he fit or doesn't he fit? Or does she fit, doesn't she fit? And whether it's right or wrong, whether it's a yes or a no, that's okay, because if you don't fit the organization, now you know. But what happens in interviewing so many times is it's so vague and cloudy that an employer can't really formulate a proper assessment of who you are. And it's your job as an interviewee to take and give them that picture. And so that's what I really bring to the table, and people love it.
Again, before our time runs out here, how do you get a raise?
How do you get a raise? You know, and that's one of the things that I do with that. Fortune 500 companies, the HR managers have contacted me. They say, absolutely love your book. And I've had candidates that will come back and say, absolutely love your book. That was the purpose. I wanted to bring the two parties together. And what the how to get a raise is driven towards self-assessment first. Who you are, what do you bring to the table, how do you compete, or how do you compare in the job market, what are your skills assessment in comparison with what the requirements of the job are, all those issues before you ever enter that interview room. And what both sides like is the accountability that it brings to both parties in the process.
Well, it's almost a series, how to interview, how to get a raise, all is almost what you need to get to the book on deployment to employment. And do you have a website?
Yes, directionalmotivation.com.
And are you from Sioux Falls?
I'm originally from Minnesota, but I've lived in Sioux Falls for 30 years. So.
And you can make a career out of being an employment recruiter, executive recruiter, and write books.
Yeah,
fine. Well, that's what I'm saying. Here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you're actually doing a lot of things nationally right now.
Actually, internationally. We're working with troops right now in Afghanistan and in Iraq and various parts of the world that have been in contact with me. And I do webinars and seminars and teleseminars, to help groups as well.
Well, getting the people the plan, giving them the outline, giving them the direction that they can take, and with your experience, especially with being a volunteer chaplain for 25 years at the prison, the jail, the juvenile of South Dakota, I'd like to talk more about that, but we're running out of time.
Sure.
And 20 years as an executive recruiter, and having brothers and your dad in the military, you're familiar with all of that. There's a reason why Wall Street Journal and the Military Times, CNBC and The Street have interviewed you also. So again, your website.
Directionalmotivation.com.
Russ Hovendick. It's H-O-V-E-N-D-I-C-K. Thank you very much for being with us on Forum.
It's been a pleasure, John. I appreciate it.